The builders are busy constructing. Look, if it's a multi-story log construction, then it has to be very solid. And the experts are at work building it up, according to the instructions of Namrud. Now, in the meantime, what is the conversation as the people go into the woods and as they come back, around the tables, at night, what are they discussing? That is what I'm telling you. This is what they are discussing. That the day of reckoning has come for Ibrahim, alayhi salam. He's not going to bother us anymore about talks of Tawheed and Iman and Yaqeen and all these things that Ibrahim alayhi salam has been telling us. He's not going to worry us anymore. And they say they would not have to listen about Iman and Islam. They would be free to do as they please. And they are now admitting and they're saying, look, the gods that we worship, our idols and our gods, they are deaf, they are dumb, and they are blind. And this suits us. This, the people say, that kind of God that is deaf, dumb, and blind suits us. Why does it suit them? They say it suits them because these gods, idols, images of ours never preach to us or ask awkward questions to us like Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam does. You know, like Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam I've described to you used to do. Is to tell them, what are these? You put food for them, they can't even eat. You talk to them, your gods can't even answer and reply. This worried the people, it used to worry them, it used to make them feel humiliated. They were disgraced by him so often. All those things. So they say, well, we like to believe in our stone gods, and in our statues, and in our wooden gods. We like it, because we can do what we want to. They never worry us, they never bother, they don't ask us questions. They don't pinch our minds. So we are very happy with this. Their silent gods were therefore much better gods, for they were never warned or reprimanded by their gods. People did as they pleased, and their gods, or so they imagined, were always pleased with them. Brothers, we come to a very, very delicate point here. I'll just mention it in passing without elaboration, and I hope you understand. Amongst the Muslim Ummah, there are those who believe in similar things. Believe in graves. They believe in photographs of saints. They believe in some imaginary type of gods who hold some kind of imaginary powers. They practically worship these things. Brothers, it is very, very dangerous. You know why they do so? For this very reason. Here's the reason that I'm giving you. Amongst many reasons that I've given you, here it is. That photograph of that saint doesn't... They can do what they want to. Live as they want to. Earn as they want to. Be moral or immoral, no problem. Halal or haram, they can mix everything as they want to. Permissible and prohibited, they can mix as they want to. When you follow Allah and His Rasul, the living Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you have to toe the line. You have to walk the straight paths. You have to follow the rules. You have to obey the laws. You have to live with them and die with them. You've gotten, everything is dictated to you. This is right, this is wrong. This is permissible, this is prohibited. This is halal, this is haram. This is haq, this is batil. Everything is told to us. This is moral, this is immoral. If we cherish Islam, and we believe in Allah and His Rasul, then we have to walk along the Sirat-e-Mustaqim. It's a tough path. But if you break away from this path, and you have other kinds of beliefs, or baykhaluwa, side beliefs, then of course, deen becomes very, very easy, brothers, because then you can break certain barriers, alright? You can commit a certain amount of treachery, okay? You can do things which are disallowed in Islam. This is what those people seek. That is why they refuse to walk the straight path, and then they want to justify it. Now here it is, the people of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, interestingly enough, amongst themselves are talking that, you know, we worship these gods of our stone gods and wooden gods and so on. They don't worry us. But Ibrahim alayhi salam, he works our case. He wants to know this. He wants to know. Now, if he's out of the way, we go back to worshipping our gods and no laws. Those gods of ours don't make laws for us, so we can live as we want to. As long as we believe in them, we carry out our duty. We carry out our duty of belief, and so everybody is happy and our gods are pleased with us. Let's proceed now. Then came the inevitable day of the fire. The fire lighting ceremony day. Then came the inevitable day of the fire, the day for the burning of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. The pyre was a huge monstrosity. It stood high and it stood wide. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was brought out of the dungeon, chained and bound, to see the lighting of the fire. The celebrations of rejoicing began as thousands gathered all around the fire. All around the pyre. People poured into the square in their thousands from everywhere, from all sides. Everything was ready. Then the fire was lit, and a deafening and thunderous roar arose from the multitude as the flames rose to touch the heavens. This is how the fire is described. It was so huge a fire that as the fire was lit, and as the fire took off, they say when people looked up, you could see the flames eventually after a while, the flames licking the sky. That was the height of the fire. Then the fire was lit and a deafening and thunderous roar arose from the multitude as the flames appeared to touch the heavens. People were driven backwards by the intensity of the heat generated by this huge bonfire. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam looked on calm and composed, ready to face his fate for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever that may be. He rested his faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as did all the believers surrounding him. But now a huge problem arose for the people, for Namrud. How should they approach the fire to place Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam into the fire? The intense heat of the fire and the shooting and roaring flames that came out of this fire kept them all at bay and far away. Instead of moving forward, the people were actually moving backwards as the heat increased of this huge fire. This was completely unexpected. This was not part of the plan. They were supposed to carry him and throw him into the fire. They can't even approach the fire now. They were about 100 meters away. They had to go back another 200-300 meters backwards. That's how great the heat of the fire was. Now what do? They have to make a plan now. And this was totally unexpected. This was not part of the plan. Now they would have to wait until the fire has cooled so they can approach the fire to put him. And that was also not part of their plan. Their plan was to put him in the fire and then watch the fun. Na'uz billah. How should they approach the fire in order to place Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam into the middle of it? Their project appeared to have backfired on them. I wonder if this word backfire has come from that. You know, the intense heat of the fire, so they move backwards. I wonder backfire, where the word backfire come from. Anyhow, Shaitan was on hand to assist them. Here again comes Shaitan, this enemy of man. Look how he comes in again. Shaitan now comes into the picture again. Shaitan was on hand to assist them with an evil design once again. The engineers who had erected the framework for this huge fire were shown in their visions by Shaitan in the mind's eye. When I use the word vision here, it means in the mind's eye. Look, you sitting here. Now, if you bring to your imagination, into your mind, you can immediately imagine your house, the stoop of your house, the gate of your house, the front door of your house. You can imagine you live in there. Alright? You can bring the picture into your mind. Now what happens is, what Shaitan does sometimes is when Shaitan has a plot for you, has a scheme for you, then what Shaitan does is Shaitan creates an image in your mind. He creates an image in your mind. And then man looks at this image and makes a decision, comes to a decision. along those lines. For example, maybe you want to build a house. If you want to build a house, then a picture comes in your mind. You would like your front to be like this, your rooms to be like this, your lounge to be like this, your kitchen to be... So a picture comes in your mind, all right? A young man, a kind of picture can come to his mind, all right? He's seen a girl, perhaps, and then all the beautiful things of this girl comes in. So Shaitan emerges and he paints a pattern in your mind, and in your mind, all these pictures come in, and so on and so forth, all right? All these things. Now, what Shaitan does here, the people, the builders, I've called them engineers here. These engineers that built this, all right, they are the technicians of that period. Now, in the mind of these technicians, Shaitan draws an image, a picture. I'll tell you what that is now. The engineers who had erected the framework for this huge fire were shown in their visions, in their mind's eye by Shaitan, how to build a huge catapult. And to place this catapult, and to place Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in a sling in this catapult, and then to shoot him through a slingshot into the fire. This was the first time. That is the invention of the catapult. That is how it was invented. Shaitan then provided them with all the necessary evil suggestions and imaginary support. You must do this, build it like this, and do it like this, and erect it like this. You take four poles, and you erect this four poles, and then you have this loose swinging ropes, and so on. You bring it, and this is how you pull it back, and this is how you release it. And so, in this chair to which Ibrahim alayhi salam will be, in this way he will emerge, and you shoot it, you bring it backwards, and you shoot it like a sling, and he will land right smack in the center of the fire. The people took to this plan like a duck takes to water, and soon a catapult was put into place in feverish haste and correctly positioned so that it would land Ibrahim alayhi salam right into the fire. People stared at this catapult as it was being erected, and they wondered at the ingenuity of their craftsmen, of the engineers. The day and the time, as determined by Namrud for the burning of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, arrived, and the place was packed to capacity. The hands and feet of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam were fastened and chained with ropes and chains, so that he would not escape in case their shot was misdirected, or if he tried to flee from the fire. He was then carried to the seat in the sling, to await the command of the king to shoot him into the huge raging inferno, which was now at its highest. As he was placed into the seat, into the sling of this catapult, there was clapping and cheering and thunderous applause all around. The mood was jovial and celebratory. Everyone was happy. Shaitan was the happiest of all. With the going of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Shaitan would rule the roost, and he would sink the people further into shirk, into idolatry, into unbelief, into evil, into sin. He went around congratulating his followers. He was immensely pleased with them. Shaitan, with his followers, his other shayateen, his whole family, his whole tribe, Shaitan danced a jig around the fire. In other words, this is where dancing comes from. Music and dancing are the inventions of Shaitan. Shaitan uses them to hypnotize people, to cast sorcery, and to cast spells upon people. So this hypnotic effect upon people, whereby he misleads people, he leads them into darkness, Shaitan uses, amongst many other things, particularly the nafs of man, Shaitan, to drive man into darkness and into evil and into sin, Shaitan uses two powerful instruments. One is music and the other is dancing. And Shaitan used this on this day. All around the fire, Shaitan took all his thousands and thousands of shayateen, and they were dancing all around and celebrating all around the fire. Therefore, the words I have used here, Shaitan with his followers danced a jig all around the fire in celebration. People were dancing, and singing on their own, and Shaitan was singing and dancing on his own. And he went around congratulating all his evil followers. And then the command went up from Namrud. As the command went up, the sling was drawn far back, and then the sling of the catapult was released with a whack. In the heavens, the malaikas, the angels, cried out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save his Khalil from the hands of Namrud, the tyrant. The malaikas pleaded repeatedly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save the life of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Coinciding with this cry of the angels, on earth a tremendous cry arose from the unbelievers and the idolatrous peoples for the death of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was on his way towards the fire as time stood still in the heavens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then granted permission to the malaikas to save Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam from the fire. Two angels were selected to descend to earth and to take instructions from Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to save him. These two angels came down and approached Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam as he was sailing through towards the fire. And they told him that if he so instructed, they would command the wind and they would command the rain to put out this huge fire in an instant. The two malaikas that were chosen, brothers, by the other angels, who were pleading, Ya Allah, allow us to save Ibrahim. He is your Khalil. He is our beloved. As much as he is your beloved, he is our beloved. He is your chosen messenger of Allah, of you, O Allah. Save him, save him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the malaikas, permitted them. Alright, you want to save Ibrahim alayhi salam? Go and save him. So they deputed two angels. One was the angel with the control over the wind, and one was the angel who was in charge of rain. These two angels came down, amirs they were of these two powers, they came down to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and they said, O Ibrahim, if you so order, then we have been permitted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will go and with the power of wind and rain, we will, in a moment, we will put this whole fire off. Now look what happens. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam told them that this decision to make was not his. That to make this decision was not his. But it was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make such a decision and to give such an instruction. He, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, told them, had placed his trust and his faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was not going to falter now. Allah ta'ala would decide what was best for him, and he would have no reason to complain, whatever the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam passed the halfway mark and grew closer to the fire, he was approached by Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, who stated that, O Ibrahim, if need be, then I can save you from this, then I will save you from the fire. From the fire, and by the will of Allah Ta'ala, this very fire would burn up the kuffar, the unbelievers. O Ibrahim, now Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes to the rescue and he says, O Ibrahim, if you so order, if you so command, then I will turn the direction of this fire, and instead of it burning you, this fire will go and burn up all the mushrikeen, Namrud and all the mushrikeen, this fire. I will push the fire towards them, and all of them would be burnt to death. If you so command, if you so order, O Ibrahim. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was ever so calm and trusting in Allah Ta'ala, as he replied that he was in no need of help from Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, and that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destined his fate to be so, then he was thoroughly satisfied with it and in no need to be saved from the fire. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam then requested Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thus to be saved from this calamity of burning. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam replied to this request of Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam with great wisdom and sagacity, saying, Allah Ta'ala, O Jibreel, Allah Ta'ala is the all-knowing. Allah Ta'ala is the all-seeing. Allah Ta'ala is fully aware of my condition and my state. With these words, and then Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam recited, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. With these words of absolute conviction and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and leaving his entire fate in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam landed into the glowing embers of the raging fire. Just before he touched the fire, the following command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went out to the fire, as stated in the Quran Majid, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْضًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. Surah Anbiya, 21st Surah of the Quran, ayat number 69. Allah said, O fire, become cold and become peaceful for Ibrahim. As he fell into the center of the fire, after being fired from the catapult, the fires of the inferno touched no part of the flesh and the body of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The fire went on, however, to burn the cords and to melt the chains that bound his hand and feet without touching a single part of his flesh. The flames did lick his body, but they did not burn it. But the flames fell to Ibrahim alayhi salam like flower petals, touching him soothingly, and he was caressed by the coolness of the flames, turned to coolness and peacefulness by the command and ordainment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah ta'ala can change the inherent quality and the built-in feature and characteristic of anything in this world, since He is the creator and He is the sustainer. He can put the power to burn into fire, and He can put the character to cool into that same fire. This by the kudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fire is endowed with the nature to burn by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but this feature can be removed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and replaced by any other form and any other nature as decreed and willed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what happened in the case of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Through ordainment and command from Allah ta'ala, the fundamental characteristic of fire to burn was changed to one of coolness and peace bringing for Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Such was the case with all the major miracles performed by the illustrious messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who were the real governors of the world, and who the earth was made to serve. The earth and all things on earth were made to serve. The fire then, upon divine command, turned cool and peaceful for Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, and all was well for him. Modern commentators, influenced by rationalism — what is rationalism that modern commentators of Quran and Islam esteem? That rationalism, I've told you in the past, is that reason is the source of all knowledge. Islamic knowledge, any secular knowledge, whatever knowledge. The rationalists believe that reason should be and is the source of all knowledge. And they believe also, who modern commentators, that empiricism — I've told you empiricism in the past also — empiricism is that experience is the source of all knowledge. Right, these two words, please brothers, learn it, of rationalism, that all knowledge is based on reason, and empiricism is that all knowledge is based on experience. Wahi plays no role. Wahi, revelation, divine, plays no role in their thinking and in their reasoning. Alright, I'm going to end off here just now. Just to explain this, I don't want to do this next week. So, modern commentators of Quran and Islam, influenced by rationalism and empiricism, and by science. Subhanallah, all of a sudden, science is also a big thing for them. What is science? That principles must be based on observation and experiment. Whatever laws along which man lives, or whatever gives knowledge and grants knowledge to man, these things must be based or are deduced from observation and experiment. So, modern commentators influenced by three things: rationalism, empiricism, and science, tend to disagree with the above construction of the Mufassirin and Muhaddisin, and explain this whole phenomena which I have explained to you about the Qissa of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and Namrud. They explain it in its figurative form and in metaphorical terms. They, of course, reject miracles out of hand and consider it too far-fetched and unnatural to believe that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was thrown into an actual and real fire. I will quote a few examples later towards the end of this particular lesson. Brothers, I'm going to end off here now. Next week we'll carry on. The whole story is complete. All I've got to tell you now is what happened to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam while he was in that fire, and what happened to him and to Namrud after he came out of the fire. Jazakumullah wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Rahim, alhamdulillah. All thanks and praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we send darood and salam upon the beloved messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have commenced. Today is the third of the holy month of Jamadil Ula, the months of Muharram and Safar, Rabiul Awwal and Rabiul Akhir. 4 months have lapsed and we have commenced with the fifth month of the Islamic calendar. And this is equivalent to Sunday, the 10th of November, 1991. And we sit here in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Primrose Park, in the masjid here in Cape Town. And we are doing the subject of Shaitan's plan for man, under which we are busy with the heading or the chapter on Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and the king of his period called Namrud of Babylonia, Mesopotamia, or call it Iraq, and of course the involvement of Shaitan with these two people and with the population of Babylonia. We have come to the stage where the king has ordered or commanded his people to build a fire, into which Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam will be put as punishment for having broken the idols of the people. This is the fight between shirk and tawheed, ongoing challenge and a battle that has carried on throughout the history of man. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is a patriarch. He is the senior amongst the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is a predecessor of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From his seed has come the family of Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wa sallam. He is also in charge of all the children in Jannah. He is addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Khalilullah, the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has been placed in a fire, and it is expected when this order was given by King Namrud that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam would die and through burning in this fire and be turned into a cinder, into ashes, within seconds of being thrown into this fire. I explained last week that they came up with the problem that the fire was so intense, so vast, it was spread over such a vast area. The intensity of the fire was so great that the people could not approach it, so Shaitan, through his vivid imagination and knowledge, showed the engineers of the day how to create or how to invent a catapult into which was placed a swing, and then how to pull this back, and then after placing Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam in this swing, to have him thrown into the fire. This was successfully achieved. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam fell into the center of the fire, and then the people watched the scene of how comfortable and peaceful Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was inside this fire. What I hope you remember amongst the things I mentioned was that the rope and the chains with which Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was tied, the fire actually burnt these ropes away. The fire actually melted the irons which were around his ankles. These were also melted and they fell apart. So the fire was swirling around and burning all around Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, yet his skin and his body remained unaffected. Touched by the fire, yes. I used a word last week, I want to make a correction. I said Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was untouched, his skin and his body was untouched by the fire. That is a wrong word to use, because it gives us the idea that the fire never got near him. No, the fire did lick him. The fire did touch him. The fire came up to him, was all around him, and was all over him. He was in the fire. We have already explained, and I hope you understand the extensiveness of the fire. So the fire was all. If the fire could burn his ropes and melt the irons, then obviously the fire was all around him and on him. So the word untouched I have used is inappropriate in this context. But the fire never affected him. So he remained unaffected is the correct word. He remained unaffected by the fire. For, and I quoted the ayat for you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded the ayah, the fire as follows, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qulna, Qulna, and we said, Qulna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the plural term for himself to show his power, which you and I refer to as Allah's Qudra. So Allah says, Qulna, and we commanded the fire, Ya naru kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. And we commanded the fire, kuni bardan, O fire, become cold and become peaceful for Ibrahim. Who commanded? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the use of a second word here, besides qulna, the word na meaning Allah's might and Allah's power, and then kuni. We know when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever uses the word kun, fayakun. Anything Allah wants to do, Allah says kun, and it becomes fayakun, be and it is. Here, look at the usage of that word. Qulna, qulna, ya naru, kuni. Comes from the word kun. We commanded the fire to be, how? Cool and peaceful for Ibrahim, and so the fire became. Be and it is. We command. Very important, further on towards the end of the lesson, I will refer you to modern commentators of the Quran. Who are they? Yusuf Ali and Muhammad Asad and various other non-Muslim translators and commentators of the Quran. These people do not believe in this particular miracle of the cooling of the fire. They say this never took place. Such an event is a myth. It is a legend. It is a creation. It is a fantasy of the mind. Alright? So when we come to that, remember these words. I am reciting the ayat of the Quran once again. Look at the usage. Look at the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not in accordance with how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us misal. Like, when Allah gives us a parable, Allah uses the word misal or kaf. Kaf meaning like. The word kaf in Arabic meaning like, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses kamisal. Kamisal, like this example. Allah Ta'ala tells it's a metaphor. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala informs us, I'm giving you an example. I'm giving you a metaphorical example. I'm giving you a figurative example. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, here Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, and I commanded the fire to be cool, to be peaceful. And so it was. Here you can say the word, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala tells two words, to be cool and to be peaceful. Subhanallah. Why two words? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have just told the fire, be cool for Ibrahim. Why be cool and be peaceful? The reason for this, our great mufassirin karam inform us, is had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not commanded the fire to be cool and peaceful, then the fire would have become so cold that the coldness, it would have become ice cold. It would have frozen Sayyidina Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam. So, be cold, O fire, but at the same time, don't hurt my Ibrahim. Be peaceful for him also. Alright? Such is the Quran. So there's no example here. This is not a figure, like Yusuf Ali wants to tell us, that this event never took place. Through Arab sponsorship, millions of this Quran are spread throughout the world free of charge. Dangerous commentaries in it. The man refuses from the beginning of the Quran to the end of the Quran, every great miracle of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muhammad Asad, here comes a modern commentator, he says it's impossible, it's incredible, it cannot be, we Muslims are wrong. He came into the deen yesterday and he wants to tell us now that, no, he was Leopold Weiss. Now he suddenly became Muhammad Asad and now he suddenly wants to tell us that, no, you people never understood Islam. I now understand Islam. So if you want to understand, you take it from me. This is a parable. It is old Muslims, they sat, they told stories, so this is just a creation of their fantasy. Brothers, these are dangerous translations. I have stuck, and I advise you to stick with, number one, the interpretation given to us of the ayats of the Quran in the ahadith of Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Stick with the translation and the commentary given to us by the students of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, known to us as the Sahaba-e-Karam Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Amongst them, their leader, the leading mufassir of the Quran, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, the son of the uncle of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When there are thousands of great and pious people who can give us the tafsir of the Quran, we don't want somebody who comes into the 18th or 19th or 20th century or 21st century or any time in the future to come and tell us, no. This is the correct understanding and interpretation of the Quran. The old people never understood. Alright, let's leave it at that. This is important. I say this because many students have copies of Yusuf Ali and maybe Muhammad Asad and so on, and they refer to them. And obviously, I don't want to tell you now, but Muhammad Ali Qadiani Kafir is not part of our reference books. Let's now proceed. We ended off with a commentary of that particular ayat. Now, to prove that the cooling down of the fire of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam for Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was real and not speculative, and that by it the plans of the unbelievers was foiled, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the following words in the Qur'an Pak, which I recited to you just now. قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْضًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. We said, O fire, become cold. We commanded, O fire, become cold and peaceful for Ibrahim. This is a direct command to the fire from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Upon the fire is obedience to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is a historically recorded event that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam emerged from this raging fire unscathed and unaffected, without a burn mark a single burn mark or a single burnt hair on his body. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then states in the Quran Majid that Namrud and his evil followers tried to kill Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam in the fire by burning him. But this plan of theirs was unsuccessful due to the intervention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose supreme power, qudra and authority declared that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam should be saved. And divine power and divine decree was triumphant over the plan of the evil unbelievers, idolaters. This is stated in the Quran Majid as follows, to make it absolutely clear to us that this was no metaphorical event, that this is no figurative explanation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the subsequent ayat explains to us as follows, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَرَادُوا بِهِ كَيْدًا فَجَعَلْنَاهُمُ الْأَخْسَرِينَ. Surah Anbiya 21st Surah of the Quran ayat number 70 says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they the kuffar and they the unbelievers decided on a plot against Ibrahim, but we made them to be the greatest of losers. You can't make a person lose with a metaphor, with an idea. No. This took place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says so in the Quran. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so. And Sahaba ikram, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajmain, the tab'in and tab'i tab'in ikram believed so. And here it is further proof in the Quran Pak ayat number 70 of surah number 21 says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they, Namrud and his people, they made a plot against Ibrahim. They drew up a scheme to punish Ibrahim. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَرَادُوا بِهِ كَيْدًا. Kaid means a scheme, a plan, a plot. فَجَعَلْنَاهُمُ الْأَخْسَرِينَ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they made a plan. Allah says, I made a plan, and I am the best of planners. فَجَعَلْنَاهُمُ الْأَخْسَرِينَ. And I made them to become the losers. Elsewhere in the Quran, referring to this particular story of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and the event of the fire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the same dramatic event in the following words. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأَرَادُوا بِهِ كَيْدًا فَجَعَلْنَاهُمُ الْأَسْفَلِينَ. Subhanallah. First time in Surah Anbiya, Allah ta'ala says, فَجَعَلْنَاهُمُ الْأَخْسَرِينَ. In Surah Safat, 37th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 98, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَجَعَلْنَاهُمُ الْأَسْفَلِينَ. Thus they intended and they made an evil plot. They devised an evil scheme against Ibrahim, against him. I'm putting the word him pertaining to Ibrahim. Thus they, who, Namrud and his idolatrous people, they made a scheme, they drew up a plot, and the evil scheme which they devised against Ibrahim alayhi salam was to burn him in the fire. But Allah ta'ala says, and so they cast him into the fire. فَجَعَلْنَاهُمُ الْأَسْفَلِينَ. But, says Allah, we made them the most humiliated of peoples. Subhanallah. We made them the greatest of losers. We made them to become the most humiliated amongst mankind because of the failure of their plan. Thus we see that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was preserved from the fire built by Namrud and his idol worshipping followers. And Allah ta'ala delivered him from their evil design and their contemptuous plan. Shaitan, who had danced a jig with his followers, with his thousands of followers around the perimeter of this fire, was highly dismayed by the turn of events. Never in his wildest dreams had it occurred to Shaitan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would save Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in this miraculous way. All along the line, Shaitan achieved his plan. He achieved the plan with his people, with his followers, with the mushrikeen. He achieved his plan by going into the mind of Namrud and suggesting to Namrud that he punish Ibrahim alayhi salam, na'uzubillah, that he punished Ibrahim through burning him in the fire. Whose plan was, whose suggestion, whose incitement was this? Shaitan's. Then he went into the minds of the technicians and engineers and he made them build a catapult when they found the fire too hot to come close to. All these were the schemes and the ploys and the plots of Shaitan. But Shaitan never for one moment thought of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to save his beloved. Khalilullah, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. Seeing, now look what happens. Seeing, and I've told you this so many times, see if you can recognize this before I say it to you. Seeing the sign of Allah Ta'ala, Shaitan, as is his habit, as is his nature, scooted from the scene, leaving his followers in the lurch, entirely misled and misguided. Such has been the style, the nature, and the habit, and the wont of Shaitan over the ages. And so it will remain, and it is for man to learn the trait of Shaitan. But at the same time, we know that man is a slow learner. He will repeat mistakes over and over again. He will not learn from history. He refuses to learn from Quran. Stories such as those of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, which are recounted in the Quran Majid, inform us about the wily ways and the evil schemes and plans of Shaitan, yet we fail to learn from them and we continue to fall foul of his fiendish plans. I have chosen the subject, Shaitan's plan for man, for this very reason, and it is my hope and my prayer that many people will benefit from these series of lessons, that they will remember me in their du'as by the name of Ibrahim Adam, and that they will pray for the revival and resurgence of the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. To conclude the story of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, and to conclude the story of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam and Namrud and Shaitan, it is important that I end off this lengthy narrative with what happened during and after the attempted burning of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, in order to end this chapter in proper order. After replying, what has happened now, brothers, is basically I finished telling the whole story. But what comes up, I encounter often people phone me or write to me and they say, but then what happened after that? So let me give you a brief summary, not a detailed, not in detail, it's not part of a summary. Just briefly, what happened to Namrud and what happened to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam after this event. And one day inshallah we have time and we are alive, then we can go into the details of what happened. After replying to Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam with Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, Allah is sufficient for me and He is the best of protectors, to the request that he be saved from the fire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cooled the fire around Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam so that it did not burn him at all, nor did the intensity of the heat touch him. This was a vastly spread and huge fire, and the stack burnt on for days and days. People came and viewed this huge fire continuously and were amazed and surprised to see Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam seated comfortably and apparently engaged in salah and meditation. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, people could view him through the fire, right? And they could often see he's engaged in making salah, he's engaged in making tasbih, he is engaged, he's in sujood. In other words, a normal course of life, engaged in one form of ibadah or another. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the fire is licking him on all sides, leaping onto him from all sides. They can see fire in front of his eyes, in front of his face, in front of his chest, in front of his abdomen, in front of his leg, all around him, curling and curling, going into his hair and around his neck, curling around. Thousands of circles of fire all around his body. But they see it does nothing to him at all. Right? All this the people view while he is in that fire. And the fire goes on to burn. One day passes, the night passes. Second, obviously, because the fire is giving a lot of light people can come and see him in the day, they can come and see him in the night, and one day passes, 2 day, 2 night, 3 day, 3 night, 4 day, 4 night, 5 day, 5 night, 6 day, 6 night, 7 day, 7 night passes. And Nabi Ibrahim al-Islam is comfortable. Nothing at all. Neither hunger, no thirst, no craving, no passion, nothing at all. The man is in strict ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people come by their thousands, they watch the scene and they go, when will he burn? That is the question in everybody's mind. He was relaxed, without a scar, without a mark, without a scratch on his body. Word spread like magic throughout the land. People went into their villages and informed their village people and everyone they passed along the way, go and see this miracle that the fire refuses to burn Ibrahim alayhi salam. And immediately the people would rush. Impossible. What are you talking? He says, well, go and see. Go and see for yourselves. And every friend they meet and every one that they meet along the way, they pull along, come and see the fire. Subhanallah, Allah spreads the deen and the haq and the truth in many ways, miraculous ways. Kuffar are inviting one another to come and see the fire. Subhanallah. A fire becomes a means of da'wat and tabligh. Subhanallah, of the haq of tawheed and risalat and akhirat. Word spread like magic throughout the land. More and more people flowed into the capital to see this incredible and unbelievable scene. Their incredulity knew no bounds. People stood, people stared, open-mouthed, eyes staring, dumbfounded, struck. Unbelievers were transformed into believers, subhanallah. Seeing this scene, all the kuffar and the mushrikeen that came along, seeing this, automatically, we believe if this is the truth. Remember, it was a day, a lot of superstition, a lot of magic, a lot of witchcraft, a lot of sorcery existed in those times. When they saw Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam so comfortable in that fire, the words that these people used when they saw him was, we believe in that God that Ibrahim believes in. We believe in the God of Ibrahim. Exactly like the magicians in the time of Fir'aun, the words they used. We believe in that God, the God of Musa, for he is a mightier God, for he is the absolute God. Now in a similar vein, the people of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the followers of Namrud, were leaving the idols and idol worship and idolatry and images and turning over on their own accord by seeing this miracle. Thousands, by the thousands, were converting to the deen, a hanif, deen a hanif of, in other words, the upright deen, the true deen, the deen of Islam of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. The talk went around that only a true and powerful God could save Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam from such a savage and a horrible fire, which refused to consume any part of his body and his flesh. They were a superstitious people, these. Shaitan had thrived on their superstition, feeding it with daily doses of lies and make-believe of deceit to deceive them further and further. Now the same superstition was turned towards true belief and straight guidance. Now they saw the haq. Shaitan had fled in front of this august miracle, and with his grip released from the people, from the heart and minds of the people, people saw through their curtain of blindness and unbelief and accepted true belief, Tawheed and Risalat, by submitting to the religion of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam brought a silken gown and a carpet of Jannah for Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam into the fire. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was gowned by Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam with this gown brought from Jannah, and the carpet was spread down for him to sit on in the fire, on which he could make his ibadah to pray and to relax upon. Besides Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, another angel was also deputed to provide Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam with companionship, in other words, to give him company in the fire built by Namrud to burn and kill Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. This fire built by Namrud continued to burn for 7 days and 7 nights. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam brought the following message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, saying that, O Ibrahim, Allah informs you that fire brings no harm to the friends of Allah. Sayyidina Jibreel, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam didn't know what's going to happen to him when he landed into the fire. But when he saw the fire not harming him, he immediately went into sujood and he thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is at that juncture that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to him, bringing to him these two articles from Jannah. One was, what we say, a gown to cover himself from Jannah, and one is a carpet, what you and I call a musalla, a prayer mat, was brought from Jannah and given to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to perform his ibadah. And of course, so he put on the gown for Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, spread this and gave the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs you, O Ibrahim, that Allah ta'ala does not burn his friends. Fire does no harm to the friends of Allah. Word eventually reached the ears of the king, Namrud, that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is safe and secure. Safe and secure, peaceful and calmful within the fire, and that people are coming in their thousands, turning in their thousands, converting in their thousands to the religion of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Astonished, Namrud, he had his work, matters of state and so on, and all his pleasures and his games and his hunting. So Namrud used to regularly go on his hunting trips and all his other duties that he had, matters of state and relaxing and recreation and pleasures and all the rest of it. So when this fire was built, he obviously, as you and I would have done, who can last in this fire? The man would have burnt by now. But when he returned from his hunting and recreational activities, the people informed him that, look, Ibrahim hasn't died, he hasn't burnt, he's not burnt yet. So the man became excited, he became concerned at this, very, very worried, astonished. Namrud, who had concluded that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam had been burnt and killed by now, went to see this miraculous sight on his own. The sight that greeted him was an unbelievable one. He found Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam dressed in an exquisite, sparkling and breathtaking garment, seated on a majestic, unworldly carpet. I did not know how else to describe it, but we have a worldly carpet and a carpet of Jannah. How would that be? All I can use, or the only word I can use to describe it, is that it was an unworldly carpet. Carpet of Jannah, carpet from heaven, cannot be described. And for the garment or the gown which Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had on from Jannah, the only words I can use is exquisite, sparkling, breathtaking. How else? We cannot comprehend the things of Jannah. Seated on a majestic, unworldly carpet, and Namrud saw Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam sitting down in conversation with what could only be described as an unearthly, angelic being, completely comfortable, at ease, and in peace, with a huge furnace of fire burning all around him and doing nothing whatsoever to him at all. So here it is, he sees, and he sees this being. You cannot clearly see him. He's seated there with Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, majestic, handsome. What words can you use? Unearthly creature, an angelic being, a form and shape that transfuses all the time, comes and goes, a pure shape of a pure creature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made. It is not an earthly creature, it is not a mortal being. Alright, it is an angelic being, a spirit being. So he sees that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is engaged in conversation with one. That particular, you see, the malaikas, I've already explained how they cried out that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam be saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they craved the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of them, that let us send some representatives to Ibrahim, at least to console him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down various angels for that particular occasion. Namrud shouted to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, can you emerge unscathed from this fire? Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam replied to Namrud, oh yes I can. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam then arose and he walked right through the fire and emerged on the outside without a single mark or scratch on his body. Namrud, his officials and soldiers all stepped forward to meet the Khalil of Allah, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, with deference, with courtesy and with respect. Namrud admitted to his failure to punish Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and to his failure to kill Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. He realized that to subject Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to any further torment and torture would be dangerous and disastrous. He must end this war here and now, or he must face humiliation and disaster. Namrud realized that in front of him was a man of God, that he was a true messenger of Allah Ta'ala, and that he preached the true religion. Namrud, however, refused to let go of his wealth and his status and to become a follower of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He allowed the truth to pass him by. He let a golden opportunity slip out of his fingers. The worst part of this was his saying to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, "O Ibrahim, your magic is of superior kind. Your magic is superior to that of others. And it is your magic that has saved you from the fire. What powerful magic you have over fire." This remark was to bring the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala onto Namrud and to destroy him for good and to thereby take away his entire kingdom. Briefly what it is, I don't want to go into too elaborate explanations. Namrud, by saying these words, hidayat came right in front of his eyes. He had the opportunity to accept the haq, the truth, one Allah, worship of one Allah. La ilaha illallah came right in front of him. Ibrahim Khalilullah right in front of him. When Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam emerged from the fire and came, what could Namrud do? All Namrud saw on the face of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was true risalat. Here is a man who preaches nothing but the truth. Here is a man who is very powerful. I cannot, not me, not all my wealth, not all the wealth of this world, not all the highest positions of the world can ever do any harm or injury to this man. This Namrud realized very, very well. In his own way, he was an intelligent person, but only intelligent, worldly wise. And this crossed his mind, what must I do? If I accept Ibrahim now, most probably Ibrahim will want to become the king and the ruler. And if he becomes the king and the ruler, my position goes, my wealth goes, everything goes, my country goes, my power goes, everything goes. What must I do? And he had a choice to make, and he made the wrong choice. Nafs made the choice for him. Self made the choice for him. And he decided for self and not for Allah. And once the nafs comes in, destroy. But the worst part of it is his usage of these words to attribute this miracle to magic. And for this Allah's la'nat, meaning Allah's curse, came upon him. Now look how the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala struck Namrud for attributing this miracle not to the Allah, the God of Ibrahim, but to magic. What happened to him is as follows. A mosquito. Brothers, you know the size of a mosquito? You can't see it when it goes buzzing around you. You can't see to the naked eye when it goes by. So tiny it is, but it makes quite a sound. You hardly see it, but it makes a sound, especially when it goes zooming all around you. That little mosquito, one of the smallest and tiniest of insects, entered the brain of Namrud through his nostrils. And this little mosquito grew in his brain and tortured him with such horrible suffering and pains that he died writhing with pain and agony and gone completely insane. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way of punishing people, subhanallah, we can never fathom, never understand. The man who at that time regarded himself as a giant among men, meaning the most powerful amongst mankind, as the greatest ruler, the greatest king, the wealthiest, the richest, and so on, the man with the greatest kingdom, that man was reduced to nothing by a little tiny mosquito that the naked eye can hardly see. Mosquito came in by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That mosquito came, went through his nose, into his brain, and of course this guy went crazy. Alright? Completely insane. He could not contain the pain, the torture of this mosquito in his brain, and of course he had people batter his head, massage his head, and oil his head and his body, but he was completely tormented. Within a few days he went right out of his mind. And the reason for having rejected Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, there it was, he lost everything. He thought by rejecting Ibrahim alayhi salam, he would retain his empire and his power. But by rejecting Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he lost everything. That's what happened, that is what happened to Namrud. Many of the unbelievers, those at that time, I've already told you, during the course of the fire, prior to the emergence of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, thousands and thousands of people came, saw the scene, and accepted the God, the Allah, the creator and the sustainer of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. But there was a small group. Majority turned into believers, but a group of people kept to Namrud. What happened with them? The kuffar, the mushrikeen. Many of the unbelievers were similarly struck by mosquitoes until the plague killed all of them. Mosquitoes entered through their nostrils, and of course, I've used the word plague, meaning not only the mosquito, a mosquito entered through the nose into the brain of Ibrahim alayhi salam, but thousands upon thousands of mosquitoes came in after that and bit the people to death and sucked the blood from the people. Tiny, tiny mosquitoes, not a huge army. When we talk of the Ashabi Fil, we talk of what happened in Makkah Mukarrama when it was attacked. That was a different story, where birds came in and of course threw tiny stones, and these stones went like bullets right through the head and came out through the bottom of the people, and so on and so forth. I mean, that story you know. But here in the case of Namrud and his mushrikeen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used a mosquito, and these mosquitoes came as a plague, swarmed over the people, and all the kuffar and mushrikeen died. The believers were saved from this punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they followed Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam as he made hijrah from this place. All the Nambiyas, when Azab, Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi Saleh alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi Hud alayhi salatu wasalam, I've told you these stories in the preceding chapters. You know that once a plague, Azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala falls on an area, then the Nabi takes his followers, true believers, those who have accepted him, Allah and him, the Risalat, Tawhid and Risalat, and he moves out from that area. So Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam trekked away from this place of Azab, and migrating with him at that time was a young man, and his name was Lut. And this Lut eventually went on to become a famous messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he became known as Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi Lut alayhi salam was a nephew of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, and they first went from Iraq to Haran, and from Haran they went on to Egypt, and from Egypt they came back and settled down in Syria, and especially in Palestine. So comes to an end the story of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Namrud and Shaitan. I wish to add a few notes to conclude this section of our lesson. In other words, to add some cream to the milk. Note 1. The famous mystic poet, Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi, the great Persian mystic, born 1207 of the Christian era, equivalent to 624 of the Hijra calendar. He died in 1273, or the year 690 after Hijra, at the age of 76 or 77 years. Wrote certain facts on the above story of Namrud and Ibrahim alayhi salam and the fire in his incredible and inspiring work called the Masnavi. The Masnavi comprises 6 books, consisting of 26,600 outstanding couplets. Couplets of deep meaning, and remarkable merit. And this took Maulana Rumi Rahmatullah Alayh 10 years to compile. Great Islamic knowledge, coupled with immense spiritual wisdom, brought to him such profound breadth and vision that the Masnavi is a colossal source of excellent information, scarcely understood by non-Muslims and non-spiritual Muslims. Writing about Namrud towards the end of the 6th book, the Maulana, meaning Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi, states as follows about the tyrannical ruler of the days of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. And I quote to you. He says, he is writing this poetry, he says, I, meaning Allah. Allah says, I have shown him countless favors and blessings indeed, that he may know me directly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, speaking to Namrud. Allah is speaking to Namrud, and Maulana Rumi Rahmatullahi is writing these couplets, these verses. Says Allah, I have shown him countless favors and blessings indeed, that he may know me directly. Meaning, I have given him power, I have given him wealth, I have given him health, I have given him abundance. Throne, kingdom, everything. Who has given him? Allah Ta'ala says, I have given him. And the reason why I have given these things to Namrud, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that he may know me directly, meaning that he must worship me and me alone and none other. Maulana Rumi writes further that he turned not to another source, nor seek guidance from another power. Who? Namrud. Allah Ta'ala says, all these favors are I bestowed upon him, so that he prayed to me and worshiped me alone, that he turned not to another source, nor seek guidance from another power, that he make not excuses for seeking others, nor seek evil companions. I cared for him in many ways, and tenderly brought him up with no help. Who says? Allah Ta'ala says, Namrud, so many different ways I cared for you. When you were sick, I didn't take your life away. When you were in danger, I didn't kill you. I did not kill you. I brought you up more than what a mother can, for I brought you up tenderly, and I need no help for my job and my task. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to Maulana Rumi Rahmatullah's writing, Namrud, his gratitude he showed by becoming Namrud. His gratitude, his thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his shukr, for all that Allah ta'ala did for him. What was it? He became Namrud. And what does it mean, Namrud? It means that he became the burner of my friend Ibrahim. Says Allah Ta'ala, the King of Kings made him the ruler, but arrogance and pomp is what he desired. He said, who said? Namrud said, why should I follow one who has neither position, nor wealth, nor honor? Ibrahim alayhi salam, when Ibrahim, exactly like Fir'aun said, why should I follow Musa? Namrud said, similarly, why should I follow Ibrahim? What has he got? Has he got wealth? Has he got property? Has he got honor? Has he got status? Has he got position? What does he own? What has he got? So why should I follow him? When Allah, in other words, what Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah, remember, he's a mystic, in other words, he's very high in internal thoughts, spiritual thoughts, which come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are conveyed to him by way of inspiration. So when Namrud was asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the state of mind, Namrud, accept Ibrahim as my messenger. Namrud addressed himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is what he said. He said, Namrud said, why should I follow one who has neither position nor wealth nor honor? The favors of the King of Kings were veiled from his heart by his egoistic pride. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what was the matter with Namrud? the favors of the King of Kings, meaning the favors of Allah, were veiled from the heart of Namrud by his ego and his pride. And so did Namrud ignore and show ingratitude towards my countless blessings. Namrud, he is therefore an unbeliever, misleading others, arrogant and pretending to divinity. Subhanallah. Fir'aun said, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. Namrud also said exactly the same. Namrud said, yes, people, you must worship me, for I am the greatest God. You have all your thousands of idols, they are your gods, but I am your living God. Remember, he tried to prove being God to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam by calling up one prisoner and having him beheaded, and called up another one and released him, giving him life. And what did he say to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? I am God, for I also have power over life and death, which is recorded in